Welcome to the Retail Panel, a blister-inducing run over the hot coals of your spending habits.
Indeed it is. First it was COVID, then the Maya Centre left the CBD. And for a while there, many were wondering if Queen Street might remain a permanent ghost town. But word on the street is the buzz is back. And what's crippling so many local hospitality businesses at the moment? You'll get an industry insider's perspective. All that and more on today's retail panel. So let's meet your panellists. Christine Moody is a brand expert with over four decades of experience and the founder of Brand Audits. Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
And Philip DiBella, founder of the Coffee Commune. Hello to you.
Afternoon, Kelly.
All right. So, Chris, why is sexual harassment in the retail sector making headlines?
Well, a report just came out. There was a study done by Professor Ray Cooper from the University of Sydney. And it was really about finding what was happening in the retail industry because there were... It is a employer of 9.7 of workers. It's the second largest employer. And there were lots of sexual harassment complaints that weren't being listened to or documented. So a formal report was, study was undertaken and they found quite interesting data.
Yeah, what was coming out of it?
Well, things like basically 86% of the cases, sexual harassment cases, were men. They ranged from not just managers and colleagues but also customers. And so that you've got younger staff who don't know, they're trying to be the customer-first employee.
Yep.
And they're trying to build a relationship. And I've been in retail. I've been a 14.9-month girl in retail. And you're trying to be nice and you're trying to, you know, look after the customer. And that can actually be taken a different way. So it's not just, I was quite surprised it was customers, but that sort of makes sense. It's risky and dangerous. And actually those figures, a third were customers.
Wow, a third were customers.
A third were customers, yeah. But also it's within the organisations. And we saw one brand, a well-known brand, that was, I guess you could say, attacked with the store in Melbourne was attacked. It was plastered with, there was a protest against the company because the person that was seen, all these people, staff, complained. They weren't listened to. There was no sort of process for checking out actually what happened. It had been going on for years and the person who the biggest complaints were about remained with the company.
Yeah.
So it was taken to the streets. It hit the main head office in Melbourne. But it's the most important thing is where's the training? So the staff are saying, well, we're getting training in how to sell, how to have good customer service and all those sort of things. But we need training on what to do. And I know what it was like. And I can look back and think, oh, my God, we just did it because we didn't think that was sort of how it was. Where do you go? Like if you don't go anywhere. So that's now they're doing training. They're having processes. So part of your induction will be this. But it actually is cultural. It's the same old thing of, I don't know, there's a famous quote that it doesn't matter what level of the organisation you are, whether you're the chairman, the CEO, whatever, managing director, if you're walking through, say, an industrial site, you see an unsafe situation, you don't call someone to do it, you fix it. You pick up whatever it is or wipe that spill, whatever. So it's a cultural thing. I don't know whether just doing training sort of fix it is a cultural thing, but it's actually having a voice within the organisation and knowing where to go. So, and...
Yep.
I think the scary bit is it could be your first job. You don't want to lose your job. You don't want to
be seen. That's right. You're 14 or 15 or 16, whatever it is, you've got no idea of power imbalances and all those things. All you know is that something very creepy is happening.
Yeah.
And what do I do about that?
Yeah. And they interviewed these girls, mostly girls and boys, but they sort of said, we didn't know it was our first job. We didn't think it was right, but we talked to our colleagues, but they didn't tell us what to do.
Well, there's no place for it, right, at all.
No.
I mean, from somebody who started working when he was 14 and a son of migrants, it's I think it's a bipartisan approach. Employers have got a responsibility to obviously train their teams and in processes and protocols and systems how to deal with it. And then parents have got a duty of care to teach their sons and their daughters of what's acceptable and not acceptable. Because I can tell you what, my dad certainly taught me how to treat a lady and what was right and what was wrong. So I think it's got to do with the cultural aspect and the home life. But it's also got to do with obviously having the right parameters, systems and processes in place in the workplace.
Exactly. And look, for some things I imagine that you can think, oh, okay, I actually was just being friendly. Like, yeah. I can understand a misconstrue in some
totally.
Cases.
It happens all the time.
That's it. But once you can tell if somebody's uncomfortable. You can tell if somebody's not reacting well to whatever just happened. But just don't be creepy too. Just stop it, for the love of. Like, it's so frustrating. You know when you're being creepy. Don't do it.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, Kelly, too, is if that's happening, you know, Europeans, right? Europeans, yep. Blokes kiss hello, kiss each other hello. They talk with their hands. They're touchy-feely. Mm. And that can be misconstrued. If you feel uncomfortable, tell the person.
Yes.
Tell them straight away. And if they're not pulling their head in, then that's on them.
That's
but,
it.
You know, you do need to, you know, stand up, see it, say it, and say, hey, can you sort of step out of my space or... Yep. Or can you give me some space because I'm feeling like this? And then it's on the person to go, yep, I respect that and do it.
Actually, the other thing too, if you see it in a retail situation, you see it happen to someone else, go and help.
Yep.
Go and help, support them. Do you need a hand? Sort it out, because we know when it happens. We can't just sort of turn away. We've got to do something. Yep. So that might be part of the training, because it's not just about training the person to react, but also to see that someone's on the floor that can help them.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Just a note on the traffic this afternoon. The crash on the Gateway Motorway, Bruce Highway northbound has been cleared, but traffic slow back to Aspley on the Gympie Road. There's a crash at Sandstone Point, Bribie Island Road eastbound near Turner's Camp Road, delays both ways, and a power outage through Boondall, Geebung, Virginia and Zilmere. So traffic lights are affected at several intersections. We'll have more detail on that after 5 o'clock. This is the Retail Panel. Christine Moody and Philip DiBella joining me this afternoon. I'm Kelly Higgins-Devine. Now, Philip, in recent weeks, we've seen a number of businesses in the hospitality sector close their doors. You were talking about this in terms of cafes, just too many of them. So what's happening with restaurants, though? Are they in the same position or is there something different happening there?
Look, hospitality's been affected. It's going to continue. They're predicting 1 in 13 venues will close. And it's the same problem all retail sectors are having is disposable income. Mm. It's simply put, it doesn't matter how much you earn. Even if you earn $200,000 a year, but your commitments and obligations are $220,000, you're going backwards. You know, vice versa, if you earn $40,000 a year and $20,000 of that is left over after you pay all of your commitments, then you've actually got a really good lifestyle. So disposable income down, we're going to see a lot more closures, not just because of supply and demand, but simply put, people don't have the money to spend, and you can understand that. I mean, this is the first time of my 49 years of life have I seen that everything's gone up at the same time. Wages, electricity, utilities, you know, cost of goods, you name it, it's gone up. It's happened all at once, and people just don't have the disposable income that they're accustomed to. So that's going to, unfortunately, we're going to see a lot more closures. And people say, what's the advice? Well, in times of good, you plan for bad. In times of bad, you plan for good. If you're making a dollar, as my dad used to say, put 20 cents away. Don't overcommit and don't overspend. But unfortunately, a lot of people have. We came off the back of COVID, where a lot of people had to use their cash reserves, both personally and in business. So something's got to give. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're looking at fixing our disposable income issue. And that goes for governments alike. But that also starts with us as individuals to not overcommit.
So did we go, though, we went from bad to worse, though, it seems, in this particular instance?
Yeah, certainly we have, because obviously the money's come out of the economy. The government can't keep handing money. Government doesn't make money. It collects taxpayers' money. So if it's giving it out over here, somewhere down the track, it's got to collect it back. Mm. And that's, you know, listeners need to understand that and how the ecosystem works. You can't just give in cash handouts out because someone's got to pay for that. And we have gotten worse, and it's because of, you know, the disposable income dropping.
Yep.
And don't forget these businesses, the ATO is calling in their debt. So some of these debts were sitting there, I don't know what they call them in tax land, but they were sitting there as sort of in the background there.
Legacy debt, yeah.
Legacy debt, thank you. And during COVID, they didn't chase as many things. Well, now they're going in hard because they need the money. So the directive is to call the money in. So it's sort of a double whammy. But I think we also have to remember these are people, these are business owners. So the mental side is what worries me as well.
Yeah.
Because when you're stressed like that, you may not be making the best decisions for the long term. You can put lots of band-aids on these things, and you see it with short-term loans or taking a mortgage on your house. Sometimes you've got to say, and it's all about when you're insolvent or when you're solvent, so it's got legal implications. But when that top comes down, you've got to actually be making the decisions with the right people around you in the right frame of mind, because you could be making it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. The key is community. And just for the listeners, if you are doing it tough out there and with the legacy debt, I commend the government. In 2021, the government of the day federally came out with the small business restructure program, where you can actually restructure your business to take care of legacy debt, to call in that debt. And obviously the government of the day at the time, in 2021, was the Liberal Party. That came in to help. So the listeners that are listening there and have got issues with that, then please explore the small business restructure program that's been put there to help with that legacy debt, because it is important.
Do you think that it's the high end of the market that's going to be particularly affected at the moment?
No, everybody, Kelly. I mean, we deal with 850, 900 venues from our business, so we're a good barometer. It's every venue, because it's all relative. You know, it's like the small mum and dad cafe operator, instead of drinking two coffees in the cafe, they're drinking one. Mm. Instead of buying the bacon and eggs, they're buying the ham and cheese croissant. You might see a venue busy, and this is a misconception, a venue is busy, but if they're not spending, then it's not covering the costs. So what we're seeing, and part of what we're doing at the Coffee Commune, is to make sure that people are understanding how to operate their business. But now is the time you've got to bring more people through the door, because the average spend is less. You know, and let's be honest, pre-COVID, everyone had it pretty good in the retail sector. We had 10 solid years after GFC where growth was great, interest rates were low, people's cash flow was good, disposable income was high. And now we've just seen a big, big, you know, cliff come, and it was predicted. Yep. And that's what we're seeing. So buckle down. There is going to be some sad stories, unfortunately, but the worst thing we can do is to repeat history. So now's the time to plan for that next upcycle.
Yeah,
what they're doing in New York, what the trend is over there that I've noticed, is restaurants are getting really simpler. They're doing really simple meals, great in-season produce. They don't have many staff, so your order is taken at the door. By the time you're seated, your meal's there, big table turnaround, in and out, nice food, great location. It's a night out. So they're keeping things really simple.
Yeah. Good food. That's all you're after, isn't it?
And it's in New York.
In the end.
Good food, right price.
Druid Annalik says, question without notice for the panel. Now that the retail partnership at the Queen's Wharf has fallen apart, could we see a new Myer offering move in at Queen's Wharf?
Oh. Geez, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, the problem we're going to have is, you've got to remember that Queen's Wharf's concept was programmed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot's happened in 10 years.
It was 6-star.
Correct. And not only that, the retail space that they planned and the vision that they had was brilliant, but the vision did not take into account what's happened in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting concept, because getting a person into your space is one thing, but then sustainability is the most important part, because we've seen that in the cafe and restaurant, you know, space. Yeah. Landlords give what they call free fit outs. There's no such thing as free. Instead of 600 a square metre, you pay 900 a square metre. It makes it too easy for you to go into the business. It's a short-term sugar hit, long-term pain. So it's a good question, but it's a tough question. You know, what's going to go in there? I think we're going to see a lot more lifestyle. I really do. I think things are going to be a bit more about lifestyle, more public spaces, I think, rather than retailers, because you're not going to have that, you know, the demand for it.
Yeah.
What they've done in Launceston has actually got some of the empty retail stores to bring people in the city in winter, so you can imagine how cold it is.
Yes.
They're building all the local businesses in the CBD, have got together and creating public spaces, so you can actually go in and it's heated, you can play games, there's beautiful couches, you can just hang, you can take your lunch, you can knit, you can, you know, have like craft things. But again, it's thinking beyond, let's just put another retailer in here.
Yeah.
Let's make something for the community. And I think that's great.
Nice idea. Well, we've run out of time this afternoon on Retail Panel. Chris, when you come back, we'll have to talk about the buzz finally back in the CBD, because I noticed it when we did our outside broadcast for Brisbane Arcade, that there were just throngs of people. I was quite surprised, happily surprised.
Hopefully they're spending.
Yeah,
well, we want them not just there, we want them spending.
Spending, that's it. Good to talk to you both, Philip DiBella, Christine Moody. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
Breakfast with Craig Zonka and Loretta Ryan.
If it's happening in Brisbane, we will be talking about it.
We'll stay across the news to make sure you know what's going on to start your day.
Plus, we'll have a bit of fun along the way too, along with the weather and traffic details to get you moving.
Without having you screaming at the brake lights on the M1.
The Bruce Highway.
The Ipswich Motorway.
Gympie Road.
So boil the jug, pop the toast, smash that avocado and join us for breakfast.
Craig Zonka and Loretta Ryan. Back tomorrow morning from 5. ABC Radio Brisbane.